tweet us at as if on cue, WAMC at WAMC Roundtable at WAMC Roundtable. Let me introduce the panel to you this morning. We have University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us, newsman Ray Graff.
Good morning.
And WAMC's Alan Chartok joins us as well. Good morning, Alan.
And good morning to you, Joe, and Rosemary, and Ray, and everybody else out there.
Excellent. We're getting a little bit of feedback from your microphone, Alan, so if you just want to...
Yes, I heard that, too, and now let's see if it's still going on, is it?
Okay. No, it's all better.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, it's all better. Excellent.
I fixed it. It was my earphone.
Yes, right. Yes. Okay, so let us talk about what is going on in the news. A lot of Rosemary and I were just talking about this. There's a ton of stuff to talk about.
We have to talk fast.
So we'll try to get as quick as we can to as many topics as we can. We're under no limit, of course, but we'll try to do our best on as many subjects as we can get to. All right, so we have been talking most of the week about Obamacare, as we've been talking most of the last 3 months about Obamacare on this program. So yesterday, the president, I think yesterday morning, we said, well, how long is it going to be before the president says you get an extension? And it was, well, 3 hours.
Right.
And, and the president said, okay. So he announced a policy reversal that would allow insurance companies to temporarily keep people on health plans that were to be canceled under the new law because they did not meet minimum standards. The decision to allow the policies to remain in effect for a year without penalties represented the Obama administration's hurriedly developed effort to address one of the major complaints about the beleaguered health care law. And then there has been a great deal of talk and I think commentary about the president's performance at the press conference yesterday, likening it in many cases, I thought, to his first debate performance, oddly
yes.
enough. We want to talk about that as well. Rosemary, let us start with you of what you made of what the president had to say yesterday.
Oh, wow. I guess I do. I like that comparison with the first debate. He was not on his game. He was defensive. He was combative in a bit. He did not make a good explanation. He was not on form at all, I thought.
It seemed rambling.
It did indeed. And he was in a bad spot. He doesn't like to be in that spot. He did not bring it off at all. So that's my, I think what he's done had to be done, you know, the extension. I don't know if that'll stop anything. And in fact, insurance companies, I understand, are lining up to increase rates. You change the rules at the last minute, yeah. And we can't handle that. So more rates. So once again, it's having the opposite effect on healthcare than this law was supposed to have.
Alan, as an expert in political communication, do you let the president walk out in something like that when he's clearly not ready?
You know, Joe, that's such a good question because in the end, I'm totally perplexed by all of this.
Yes.
And one of the reasons is that, you know, I just sense that the staff work is so bad. It's just so bad. I mean, you know, a president has to pick the right people to be around him. But they've really let this guy down. And that's what I'm thinking, that that you don't let him walk out unprepared. It's one thing to be in a campaign, as you guys mentioned. The first one was bad. The next ones were okay. But when you come back you find this incredible, you know, in the campaign, he could promise. He could say, I'm going to. But here he can't promise. He has to say, this really got screwed up and we're going to make it work.
Isn't the reason that he did this because the Democrats on the Hill said, you're killing us here.
Right.
We have to run again. Can you do something for us?
Right. He was trying to cover for them.
And I think
not them.
He took a lot of heat yesterday on himself personally. And I watched the whole thing. We covered about 60% of it on NPR, inexplicably. Didn't go to the end. But I think he did that for the Democrats who are running. And they probably said, look, you know, we went to the wall with you on this. You got to help us out here.
Wow. I'm not sure that he did them any favors.
Also, you make the announcement. And then meanwhile, the state insurance commissioners say they were completely caught off guard by the announcement and said they did not intend to allow insurers to reinstate the policies, and insurance companies denounced the president's actions, saying, we can't do that. So,
that seemed like something that should have been worked out.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say one of our great correspondents pointed out that in the haste to get this law written, the insurance companies were a big part of the problem because they helped write the thing. They helped write this mess and this jerry-rigged mess. And now, of course, they are taking full advantage of the chaos that they reaped.
Well, absolutely, and I find myself in a very strange position of momentarily trying to defend the insurance companies, but I understand their point, which is the premiums have already been set for the next year. They have already set all of their they have already set their coverage guidelines, and then to do this on a to turn on a dime is somewhat
Is it a big change, or do you just go back to what you have?
I think in some cases it is a big change, but I don't know, because I think in some cases those they've been deleted and now they have to come back.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
You know, it's this all makes the Republican stand,
by the way,
palatable. Let's drop it all and start all over. I gotta say that's having some like looks good.
Well, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I think we've come a long way.
Have we?
Oh,
man.
Well, first of all, I think there's a danger in, you know, Alan sort of said this jury-rigged situation and throwing it back on the insurance companies. Remember, this was put forth by the president, in the end, put forth by the president, signed off on by every Democrat on Capitol Hill. And so, really, if the insurance companies did some chicanery, and Lord knows we don't need to defend the insurance companies, but if there was some chicanery involved in the writing of this, I mean, isn't that up to the people who put it forth and signed it?
Yep. And then, I guess we're going to talk later on about immigration.
Yes.
The two are sounding a lot alike.
Yeah.
A lot alike.
Yeah.
You will never get me to say a nice word about the American insurance companies.
So John Boehner yesterday said promise after promise from this administration has turned out to be not true. So when it comes to this health care law, the White House doesn't have much credibility. Now, let's be clear. The only way to fully protect the American people is to scrap this law once and for all. There is no way to fix this.
Forty million people are being put on the rolls who will not
or
have health care insurance.
Give or take a couple
yes.
minutes.
Give or take 39.
There
nine.
Is that.
Yeah.
And we only have 100,000 who have signed up. I'm sorry. I don't like Boehner's idea. I don't. It's repugnant. And yet Obama handed it to him. He handed him the ability, the opportunity to make those statements. This is on Obama.
And so where do you think we go from here? Because it's still, meanwhile, the problem is still not fixed. And I don't know what the next step is.
Are.
You know, I mean, we bought ourselves some time, but I don't know. They're still working on it. You know,
I don't know. You know, we have WAMC has consultants, the gig company, Tony Yang and his group, Peter Moy, and you know they can fix anything. So, and we got Ray Graff, and we got Tom Jobe, and these guys know how to do it all. And they can't, the president of the United States cannot find the right people to make this right. And it worries me. I've said it every day. All of our missiles are controlled by computers.
Yeah, but wait, now.
And
but
yes.
That's a computer issue. Small potatoes compared to the issue of, if you like your plan, you can keep it. Oh, wait, no, you can't. So that's an entirely separate issue that even Gig can't fix. That is, that is part of the law and not part of the mechanism to get people to sign up.
There are two parts to this, obviously, but there is still
the
technical component.
Yes. the fact that when people went to sign up, the thing didn't work, Ray. That's the first part. The second part has emerged in the last couple of days, but let's get the first part done. You mean to say in this country, we don't have enough people who can make this right? That's what's perplexing. Yeah,
Alan is right. This is, the stakes could not be higher. And what's the new deadline? 2 weeks away now, the end of November, it was all going to be fixed.
Yeah, we'll just extend it.
Put it in.
Let's do it after the next election. We'll just extend it to past November.
Put it in with a debt ceiling and we'll be all set. Just to tie those two together and everything will be fine. It seems to me, though, and Alan, I'm curious. Well, actually, let's take a break and then we'll come back and I'll explore my curiosity.
Oh, boy.
Roundtable at WAMC.org if you want to get in with us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll take a break and be right back with our discussion.
Support for WAMC comes from Catskill Hudson Bank, based in Kingston and specializing in commercial loans for local businesses and organizations, 12 branches in the Hudson Valley and Catskills, member FDIC, equal housing lender, catskillhudsonbank.com. UMass Amherst Museum of Contemporary Art presents the exhibition Du Bois in Our Time. 10 artists explore the legacy of W.E.B. Du Bois 50 years after his death, umass.edu/umca. Hilltown Artisans Guild, Worthington, Massachusetts, presenting Juried Show of Art and Handmade Items this Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 4, Town Hall, Worthington, Massachusetts, hilltownarts.com. And Capital Cities Imported Cars, Glenmont, New York, offering new and pre-owned BMWs and Volkswagens, serving the WAMC listening area since 1975, capitalcitiesbmw.com.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok, and Ray Graff before us this morning, and we welcome you as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, the question I was going to ask you is about, you know, the timing, and to your point about fixing this and the technical problems, it seems like, if anything, what we've done over the last 2-3 weeks is to allow there to have a panic to build. So now we're getting kind of knee-jerk reactions because there is a panic and we don't know how to fix it. And now, you know, we're even going back to the original request, which is just to scrap the whole thing. So that timing didn't help anybody, did it? Is Alan there?
Hello?
Maybe Alan's not there.
This is a Huygens.
All right. All right. I don't know where Alan went.
It's a good question, though.
All right. Do you want to answer it, Rosemary? Alan doesn't seem to be with us. I don't know. I see him right there. I don't know where he went to.
No, I don't think the timing helped at all. I don't think that the Obama administration has just gotten a handle on the whole crisis, and it is getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
It's playing right into Republican hands, and the news conference yesterday was part of that.
One thing did not
look good.
One thing President said yesterday, and I think he was better than some people say. I mean,
really?
He answered the questions. He took some blame, and I think he did his colleagues on the Hill a service by taking that blame. And I think that was part of the plan.
I agree, but he just seems so crotchety. And
well, that's what presidents are in the second term. They're crotchety. They've had quite enough Major Garrett's and everybody else out there who are asking him pointed questions. You know,
too easy an explanation.
One thing he did say that I think is entirely valid is, if a year from now it's working and people have signed up who didn't have the 40 million Alan referenced, people are signed up, all of this will be forgotten. So ultimately, the prize is, if it works in a year.
Ray, that's the same thing you talked about before, kicking it forward. Yeah, it's bad now, but in a year, we'll all forget about it.
I'm just trying to, you know, help him out here.
Yeah, I know. Why are we trying to help him out?
I'm not saying I believe it, but I'm saying that is true. If what he said, if it works in a year, it'll all be forgotten. I'm not saying it's going to work, because I don't know, not being Nostradamus.
You're not?
No, not really.
So, real quick, so there's a Washington Post. This is pretty extraordinary, I thought. A Washington Post commentary this morning, and it says, Obama has just completed a press conference, was arguably worse than the Obamacare rollout. Alternately confessing, apologizing, and blame shifting, he inadvertently made the case against his own executive skills, Obamacare, and big government in general. He said who is the author of this?
It's Jennifer Rubin.
Jennifer Rubin, yes.
Which is an interesting piece, except that, she doesn't like Obama on his best day. I mean, she didn't like his inauguration address, first term.
So because it's the Post doesn't mean it may
no,
not.
No, absolutely.
This is sort of an editorial, you know?
It is an editorial, but it said it was really a series of unbelievable lines for which this press conference will be remembered. We fumbled a rollout on the health care law. This is what I wanted to get to, the lines, because she takes them out. We fumbled the rollout in this healthcare law being one. I completely get how upsetting this is. This can be for a lot of Americans. It's a complex process. I was not informed directly. How about indirectly? Yeah. That was that the website would not be working. I don't think I'm stupid enough to go around saying this is going to be like shopping on Amazon or Travelocity a week before the website opens if I thought that it wasn't going to work.
I don't know. The man needs Bill Clinton up there.
Yeah.
He really does.
It needs a little infusion of
slickness.
Ah, he's back.
Hey,
just
welcome
time
back,
for a break.
Alan. It's okay. We're gonna take a break, and we found Alan. Our
again, this is dangerous.
we're gonna go hear some news, and we'll get everything set, and we'll seatbelt everybody in so they don't move, and we'll be back. You can join us roundtable WAMC.org. You can also comment on our webpage or our Facebook page or tweet at WAMC Roundtable. We'll be back after this short break.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jean Cochran. President Obama will be discussing healthcare strategy with insurance executives today. That White House meeting follows his announcement of a substantial change to the Affordable Health Care Act. Following an outcry over cancellations of old policies, President Obama says insurance companies can continue to offer them for another year. On Capitol Hill, Senator Mary Landrieu calls that a good first step, but she says legislation is needed, in her words, to make it stick.
We're going to be working across the aisle, not to repeal the Affordable Care Act, not to defund the Affordable Care Act, not to undermine the Affordable Care Act, not to gut the Affordable Care Act, but to fix it.
In the House, Speaker John Boehner continues to insist the Affordable Care Act should be scrapped altogether. The U.S. is sending roughly 1,000 more troops and more ships and aircraft to the Philippines to help with recovery from last Friday's typhoon. An American aircraft carrier is already stationed off the coast, and helicopters have been ferrying food and water to inaccessible areas. NPR's Jason Bobian is in Tacloban, where workers continue to pull bodies from the debris.
Across from Tacloban City Hall, 168 bodies are laid out in rows on the lawn of a municipal building. A team from the Philippine Bureau of Investigation is photographing the unidentified corpses and zipping them into body bags. Then they're loaded into a big yellow dump truck. Ronaldo Romero, the leader of this team, says this isn't the only place where corpses are being processed.
It's all over the city, actually. And our main concern now is getting all the cadavers and then transporting them to the common burial ground.
Thousands of people died in the storm, but the exact death toll won't be known until officials are able to reach more remote parts of the typhoon's path. Jason Bobian, NPR News, Tacloban.
Toronto's city council is taking up a motion to strip Mayor Rob Ford of some of his powers. He has refused to resign despite revelations about his drinking and drug use. Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto reports Ford does say he's getting professional help.
Today, the council will put forward a motion that would suspend Ford's authority to appoint or dismiss the deputy mayor and his executive committee. That's the committee that runs the budget process. The aim is to prevent Ford from firing anyone on the committee who might speak out against him. Then on Monday, the council will move another motion to strip him of most of his remaining powers. The goal, if he won't step down, is to leave him as mayor in name only. If the motions fail, councillors will once again appeal to the Ontario government to intervene, and for the first time, Premier Kathleen Wynne has left the door open to that possibility. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Industrial production fell slightly last month, but the biggest component of that figure, factory output, was up by 0.3%. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide at fordfoundation.org.
Support for WMC comes from Capital Power, Albany, New York, dealer and installer of Kohler Standby Generator Systems, capitalstandbypower.com, Champlain Spine and Pain Management, Plattsburgh, New York, specializing in the diagnosis and management of chronic pain with combined X-ray and ultrasound-guided procedures, 518-324-PAIN, Lake George Kayak Company, a kayak, canoe, and stand-up paddleboard center providing sales, rentals, and lessons, lakegeorgekayak.com, and Stone Soup Concrete, East Hampton, Massachusetts, specializing in concrete countertops, sinks, bathtubs, furniture, and architectural elements, serving the Pioneer Valley and New England, stonesoupconcrete.com. Support for WMC comes from SUNY Ulster Online, introducing Fast Finish for adult learners with online accelerated courses for associate's degrees in as fast as 17 months, sunyulster.edu/fastfinish. Curran Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York. Legal and consulting services on regulatory issues for life insurance and annuity manufacturers and distributors. CurranCompliance.com. Marriott Town Place Suites, Albany, downtown. Offering studio, one- and two-bedroom suites with fully equipped kitchens. Amenities include indoor pool, breakfast, local transportation, Wi-Fi, and parking. TPSAlbany.com for reservations. And Pioneer Post and Beam, a non-kit post and beam builder in Belchertown, Massachusetts, designing and erecting customized barns, artist studios, garages, and additions, pioneerpostandbeam.com.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue, along with Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and Rosemary Armeo. And we've been spending a lot of time talking about Obamacare, so we're going to switch topics and take it easy on ourselves for a few minutes and talk about the very easy subject of immigration. We figured, why not, right?
Something simple and not complex.
So House Speaker John Boehner this week said that the House will not enter negotiations with the Senate to hash out differences between its immigration plans and the Senate immigration bill, dealing a significant blow to the prospects of comprehensive immigration reform this Congress. The idea that we're going to take up a 1,300-page bill that no one had ever read, which is what the Senate did, is not going to happen in the House, according to John Boehner. And so this adds to the list of the things that the Congress will not take up at this particular point. And we go another year, another session without immigration reform, a bill that has been in the works for years. Mm-hmm. Rosemary, what do you make of this?
Okay, I think this reminds me a lot of health care and in my quest to figure out what the Republicans are about, because they don't do a really good job explaining themselves. They just come off as evil and anti-Obama naysayer. Yep. Yeah. So in my quest to figure this out, I've read George Will and I've looked at McConnell, and they have a point, and Rubio, and they do have a point. Obama has learned nothing from health care. He saw an opportunity to get widespread reform of immigration after the election when the Republicans got dropped, and so he says, okay, give me something. There's no guidance. There's no big meeting saying, here's what we're going to get through. So we come up with a plan that takes up many, many issues, 2,000 pages, way too complicated. And there's a resistance by the Democrats to break it into parts. Why does it have to be comprehensive? Why can't it be one part, two parts, three part when we understand it? And we get different alliances, different coalitions that would agree to it. It has a chance to pass. Marco Rubio says the same thing, but no. Harry Reid is pushing through the comprehensive bill. And then you look at that as George Will did, and there's pork in that. I love this, that in this bill, in this proposed bill that Boehner is now saying, no, I don't want anything to do with, there's money for border protection for Nevada, Harry Reid's state, 200 miles from the Mexican border. Why are they getting money for that? It's pork. And there are reasons to be against this, no matter how you feel about immigration. So I think we should be listening to the other side.
Alan, what do you think?
I think Rosemary has a, you know, one time...
What do I have, Alan?
Yeah. And can you catch it?
Yeah, finish that thought.
One time at the New Lincoln School, I was in charge of an auditorium, and Adam Clayton Powell was the congressman. He didn't show up, of course. And he was in Bimini, I believe. And there was a Republican, a man of great girth, and with a Phi Beta Kappa key across his pouch. And there was also a socialist guy who showed up, who was running for Congress. And the socialist guy said about the Republican, you know, he reminds me a little bit of an antelope, a point here, a point there, and a lot of bull in between. And
there we go.
That's what you got. Rosemary. And not physically.
Oh, that's what it is. I see.
Not physically. No.
How nice.
No, not physically. However, I have to say, look, Pete Seeger sings the song, Will They Never Learn? They're not going to learn, these Republicans. They got trounced in the presidential election because they're not cooperating. They're not helping. They're obstructionists. So George Will aside, who writes well on baseball and nothing else, you know, that's that. I think we've also created a bit of an analogous system to slavery. I hate to say it. It is not fully slavery, but it's close. We let 12 million people in the country and we say, okay, you know what? You're going to be the new slaves. You're going to work in every job that nobody wants. And if you raise an eyebrow, out you go. We're going to take you right off the streets of Great Barrington and send you back to where you came from. And you're not entitled to the same thing all the other Americans are.
Oh, Alan.
I'm not through
these
yet.
These are debate points.
All right. Simmer down.
You are equating a bad system of immigration with legislation that is not good. Those are two different issues.
I'm not, but are they helping, Rosemary? Are the Republicans doing something to help? Have they ever learned about this? They lost all the Hispanic votes in the last time. They're going to lose the same Hispanic votes in the next election. I think if there's anything one could suspect, it's that the Democrats aren't all that unhappy with this.
Regret.
Because they're making suicide for themselves.
I think what you're seeing with what Boehner said is a key to the roadmap for Republicans in the next election. When he said the idea that we're going to take up a 1,300-page bill that no one had ever read, which is what the Senate did. So this is the Republicans' complaint about what happened with the health care law.
Right.
Oh,
and so,
Raymond.
Hang on. Wait. And so this is their, whether justified or unjustified, you know, the complaint is this was pushed through. Nobody read it. Heck, the president didn't even know what was in it. And now
you don't know that
John Boehner. I'm saying what I think their angle is going to be.
Right.
And so what they say is, hey, this was pushed through. It's a mess. And we're going to do the same thing with a 1,300-page immigration bill that nobody even in the Senate has read, which I don't know if it's true or not. But this is, I think, what the Republicans are going to angle for in the next election.
By the way, why does nobody not read anything? You write it, you read it. I mean, what are you doing? That's your job. Read it.
They knew the basic points of what was being said.
Did anybody know the basic points? Because so far
of course
it seems
they
that
did.
Nobody knows the basic points.
The basic points are fine, but the devil is in the detail, as Mr. Obama is learning right now.
We ought to be considering,
Alan, if you are right, Alan.
Who's wrong?
Yeah. Alan's wrong. And if
Rosemary's wrong.
Right. If you are wrong, okay, so what's the harm? The Republicans are going to keep losing until they come around. So there's, for Democrats,
well, exactly.
There is no problem with waiting to get it right. They have nothing to lose. So do the law right.
As in healthcare, you can't have it both ways. The Republicans tried every way they could to sabotage it, including coming up with a Meshuggah crazy bill, jerry-rig bill. It's nonsense. And now they do the same thing with this. Ask yourself this diagnostic question, Rosemary. Are the Republicans for immigration reform so that these people have a decent life and a decent chance? The answer is hell no.
I don't disagree with that, Alan, but healthcare is showing me that even the people who are in favor of inclusive care cannot guarantee that if they don't come out with a legislation that works. And we are headed
well,
the same way towards
them. What about your wonderful Republicans? Why didn't they right from the beginning, if they are really for immigration reform, if they really are for it, why didn't they come up and say, let's sit down, roll up our sleeves, and come up with a good bill that protects everybody and that's simple in scope?
This worked really well when we were talking about health care. The Republicans have come up with anything better, so let's pass this, and it's crap, and no one's getting helped. I don't want to see that happen.
No. I'm not going to let you get away with it. The Republicans were in on it. They are the ones who insisted on so many of these changes that made it impossible.
No Republican voted for health care.
That's it.
Voted for health care. That was not truly negotiated.
But there was a lot of negotiation going on, and every time I said something like pass Medicare for all or single payer, they said, well, we can't get it done because they're of the lobby, the insurance lobby. Guess who the insurance lobby gives their money to? The Democrats?
It's just too easy to blame one side, tempting as it is, because they are a cast of just
really...
Well,
you're blaming Obama.
I am. It's his job. And bipartisanship is two sides have to work on it, and Obama is the one who promised it and failed. McConnell never promised bipartisanship. He never did.
I feel bad for you, Rosemary.
Oh, come on.
How can anybody be that wrong?
Let's keep the personal invective to a minimum here.
I love Alan.
Yeah, why start now?
I just
now?
Want to
you're
remind
good point.
Rosemary that this is the topic you requested.
I know. You're right. Let's talk about that incognito guy.
Yeah, let's go.
No. Let's talk about why it costs $1 million for somebody to get
a cab license
in New York. $1 million.
Wow.
And you ride around with these guys. Talk about an oppressed class. These guys have got to pay through the nose to be allowed to drive a cab while Mr. Fat Cat sits there and charges. I mean, we were in the plane coming back from Kennedy, and we asked that question. The guy said, how much is one of these medallions worth now? He said, $1 million. I almost fell off the seat.
$1 million. This is for decades, New York City yellow cab has powered the consummate immigrant story, a tale of a new arrival who becomes a driver dogged enough to eventually become his own boss. And now the proof of that feat has been the taxi medallion, which grants the right to operate a yellow cab. The aluminum plate is pinned to the hood, the emblem of a dream achieved for those who work hard enough to afford it. But in the age of soaring prices across the city, the taxi industry has emerged as a striking example of how exclusive some corners of New York have become. On Thursday, at the city's first medallion auction in over 5 years, the largest bid for a mini fleet of two medallions exceeded $2.5 million.
Wow. Once again, I'm in the wrong career.
Yeah. Imagine all the
$2.5 million.
That's a lot of fares.
Yeah, it is.
You are not a bloodsucker. That's the whole point. It's the same like the banksters and all these other guys. They figure it all out. They get it. And then they become, you know, they're not driving the cabs, these guys. Maybe one or two. Yeah.
Isn't that the marketplace, though? I mean, isn't that what the market will bear?
Yeah,
but you can't have a billion taxis. You have to have a finite number of cabs, and if
you don't believe I mean, I don't want to say what you are, but you're the
how
guy.
How would you fix this?
Who is always,
how would you fix this, Alan?
I would let the marketplace take care of it. I would say no, not the marketplace for this arbitrary thing called a medallion that we have created. The marketplace for everybody buys a cab. Some can make it, some can't. And I have no problem with that. And you know, you're a big believer in the marketplace and free capitalism, right, Ray?
Absolutely. All right, do it. Let's have a thousand billion taxi cabs.
Oh, that would be like Poland or Algeria or Bucharest, where I've tried to get taxis.
And you can get one. Right, and you'll get one in Brooklyn. I'll tell you that much. You'll get one in Brooklyn and the Bronx that way.
And a decent price and a good ride. And so there are some benefits to this, to the consumers.
We're going to take a break.
Benefits, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Benefits?
What? Yeah, to taxi riders when it's regulated.
You mean having medallions?
Well, having regulation. having regulation of the
taxi
industry.
Oh, I'm all for regulation. I'm all for regulation, but not for this arbitrary and capricious concept of a $1 million medallion so some guy can sit behind the desk and screw all the Pakistani and Afghanistanis and
drivers.
everybody else who comes over here, drivers.
But it was
yes,
an auction, right?
Come over here.
They need a union.
But it was an auction, right? So the price went up.
Well, I'm telling you, the basic concept isn't right. That we have created this thing called medallions. That's okay. What I'm trying to
all
tell
right.
you. Well, you don't. That's condescending. You don't
win.
Really believe
no,
me.
You win. No.
You don't believe I win.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll be back, and we'll hammer this out some more. We'll be right back. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home. Supporting the Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy, InterimHealthcare.com. Jenkinstown Motors, New Paltz, a repair shop for domestic and foreign autos and specializing in Japanese cars for over 30 years, JenkinstownMotors.com. The Research Foundation for SUNY, providing sponsored program administration and innovation support services to faculty and students at SUNY's 30 state-operated campuses. And Godfrey Financial Associates, Latham, New York, providing retirement planning and wealth management services for baby boomers and beyond, independent, woman-owned, established 1995, GodfreyFinancial.com.
And welcome back to the Roundtable. It's our panel for the morning. Rosemary Armeo is here. Alan Shartok is here. Joe Donahue will be right back. I'm Ray Graff. So we'll shift gears here and talk about Janet Yellen, who was once again, she was being interrogated, if you will. And in the Yellen hearing, senators pushed for Fed changes. This is from the New York Times. The questions that Janet L. Yellen faced on Thursday from senators considering her nomination to lead the Federal Reserve made two things fairly clear, according to the New York Times. The job is hers, and it is not going to be easy. Democrats and Republicans on the Senate Banking Committee treated Ms. Yellen as if she were already the Fed's chairwoman, skipping over questions about her qualifications and instead venting broad frustrations about the slow pace of economic growth. And, well, what do you make of this?
Well, her appearance in public and in front of Congress has been far superior to the president's, to Kathleen Sebelius. She was professional and calm and predictable, very predictable. She didn't make any sweeping promises or philosophical statements. I think she did what she had to.
Is business as usual what we need, Alan? Quantitative easement and everything else?
Well, you know, I think this woman knows exactly what she's doing. I think she's terrific, and I've thought so from the beginning. And I think the appointment was the right one as opposed to the wrong one with Summers. You know, I think that they're going to give her as hard a time as they can because I don't know that there is an absolutely right answer. We have come through this. Rosemary knows much more about this than I do, but we have come through a very difficult time. The United States has come through in a much better way than some of these countries.
Right.
We just came back from
Europe
Greece and these other places, you know. And I think that the team that was on duty, including Ms. Yellen, you know, knew what they were doing. From my point of view, I'm confused because every day at junior high school, I went to Yellen's Delicatessen and had two hot dogs. Listen to this.
Okay.
Two hot dogs. A huge order of French fries, and a Pepsi Cola, and a huge pickle. How much? $1.
Well, that was before quantitative easement.
I'm very interested in these hearings, listening to Elizabeth Warren.
I thought you were going to say I'm very interested in Alan's lunch.
And giant pickles.
And Yellen's delicatessen.
I like giant pickles, too. But Elizabeth Warren continues to be a real voice and an expert on banking and on the need for regulation. And her questions to Yellen were interesting.
As you indicated in the Times article, Ray, that they seem to just skip over questions of, you know, foregone conclusion that this woman is eminently qualified to do this, and we're venting more than anything else. I was watching it for a chunk last night. They were rerunning it on C-SPAN, and it was fascinating because it seemed as if it was just sort of a venting session where people were just going around the room saying, "Well,
I don't
this
like
is
this.
You know
I don't right." Like that. Yeah. why did you do this?
What are your comments on it? And she said, well, you know, in some cases, she didn't disagree with him. She was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Well, it'll be nice if you know, at a point he gets through without a major skirmish and, you know, gets down to business.
It would be rare, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be refreshing.
But it is interesting that she gets attacked both from the right and the left. Right?
Well, I don't know if she was attacked. I mean, do you think she was attacked?
She got harsh. She got hard questions from the right and left. Alan's right about that. But that's because there's such disagreement about the way the Fed should be handling the situation,
right.
whether we have any kind of recovery or not. That's really interesting to me. It's a matter of perceptions. And she basically said the economy is much better off because of what the Fed has done. So,
when
we'll never know. Obviously, I mean, they're the only ones doing it.
We may know.
I mean, Alan mentioned Europe. They did the opposite. They had the Republican plan, and they are in far worse shape than we are.
But at least they have enough taxis, so that works out pretty well.
I want to. We have a few more minutes, and
universal health care.
There you go.
I feel I would be remiss in my duties if I didn't spend the last 3 minutes of our time together talking about the mayor of Toronto. So,
a never-ending source of news and amazement.
So he
said bad things about his sex life, including what his relationship with his wife was like. It gets worse and worse.
Well, yes. What I found is he used very vulgar terms.
God.
I must say I didn't even see it. I'm tuning out a bit.
So he used very vulgar terms referring to oral sex.
I see.
And what I find fascinating about what happened yesterday is he apologized for that.
Well, and he did this with his wife standing there with the prescribed looking down,
she just
ashamed.
Looks.
So I know now not just want him impeached, I want her impeached too.
Oh, come on. I mean, you know, those poor people who are sucked into this thing and
Alan, that's
check,
your cat.
Please.
No, stop. No, you stop.
Check.
No, you guys stop
check,
that.
Please.
We're done.
She was pulled into this whole thing.
There you go.
She's doing what she considers to be the right thing. I mean, you know, come on. Will you please stop your childish, behavior?
Just get me out of here.
Oh, Alan, you ignorant slut.
Oh,
this is just wrong. We should not be standing in favor of this. It's bad behavior by everyone.
So why blame the wife? Why blame the wife, Rosemary? I don't get that.
I blame her as well as him. And I blame his mother,
why?
Too. His mother.
Are they enablers? Is that what you said?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
They got
right.
in and said, he has a little bit of a drinking problem, but, you know, he doesn't need rehab. It'll be just fine. Oh, gosh. Not fine for him or for the city.
You know, and the good wife, she didn't stand. She didn't go to the press conference.
Ah, fiction is so much better than reality. You're right.
And it's always based on what happened.
Right. Absolutely.
Why are we even talking about this?
I'm just curious. It's just another.
I find it very interesting.
Incognito guy. We need him.
Okay.
We got yelled at because we were all talking at the same time. We got a letter saying it's very bad radio.
That's your
so
fault.
I'm trying to.
It's bad
back.
TV too.
Yeah,
you're
no,
right. I apologize.
It is my fault, and I apologize.
All right.
So now nobody's ever going to talk again.
I think the
that's a win-win for all of us.
To Ray's point in our final minute, I think to your point, I find the story fascinating because, for one, what I mentioned earlier is that he called a news conference to apologize for that. That suddenly this becomes more evil than him smoking crack in office, which is just fascinating. And once again, he's doing all of this just in front of reporters, which I think is just
again
so incredibly stupid, but yet it doesn't.
It's the end of the civilization. I said it last week.
Yes,
it's just it's over and it's crumbling. We're fiddling while Rome burns, and let's just get on. We'll be back in the Stone Age in a couple of years.
Hear, hear.
Well, the Toronto Chamber of Commerce must be delighted with what's going on. It really is a wonderful city, isn't it?
It is a wonderful city. It's a beautiful city.
It's the crack capital of Canada, apparently.
That's not true.
No?
That's not true. All right. We are going to wrap up for this week and for this morning. I thank you all for being with us. Raymond, Rosemary, Alan, thank you so much.
Thank you. Welcome, welcome.
Nobody
welcome.
Talk now.
Excellent.
Take
right.
your turn. Take a number.
Take a number, right. Take a number at the deli. Get two hot dogs and a Coke. And
Yellens.
And French fries. Yeah. Yellens, right.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.